Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Safe Infant Sleep, Expert Answers to Your Co-Sleeping Questions, by James J. McKenna, Ph.D., narrated by Stephen Bowlby. Publisher's Note: In this audio edition, you will hear references to figures, charts, graphics, appendices, and flowcharts present in the print and e-book formats of the book. The great enemy of truth is very often not the lie, deliberate, contrived, and dishonest, but the myth, persistent, persuasive, and unrealistic. Too often, we hold fast to the clichés of our forebears. We subject all facts to a prefabricated set of interpretations. We enjoy the comfort of opinion without the discomfort of thought. President John F. Kennedy, 1962, Yale University Commencement. Foreword by Meredith Small, Ph.D. We live in fearful times, and nowhere is that fear more apparent than among parents, especially new parents. No matter that humans have been making little humans for at least 200,000 years, no matter that babies are born every second of every day and all around the world, every parent still worries about doing the right thing to guide their child toward competent adulthood. What brought on this collective parental anxiety? Some of that fear comes from inexperience. The birth rate in Western culture has been decreasing over the last 50 years, and as a result, many of us parents have no idea what we are doing. There are fewer brothers and sisters to practice on, and fewer babysitting jobs. Many people, especially in the United States, also move away from their own parents and extended families, which means it often feels like one is bringing up children solo, even with a partner involved. As families have grown smaller, there are also fewer opportunities to learn from and correct mistakes with each successive kid. Instead, our eggs are in one basket, which makes us obsess about that basket. Who should we ask, then, when needing parental advice? A generation ago, the pediatrician was the go-to person. While he or she confidently offered advice, that advice actually came from a personal value system rather than anything evidence-based. Pediatricians were also happy to check boxes on developmental charts while nervous parents looked to see if their child was normal. But these resources were never very good. Training for pediatricians is medical, not behavioral, and the charts are there to catch outliers, not the wide range of possibilities and the even wider time frame in which these developmental stages might appear. Many anxious parents also turn to parenting advice books, and what a barrage of conflicting information that has been. Bookstores and libraries are filled with shelf after shelf of advice books telling parents what to do and judging them if they decide to go a different way. Others have been snowed under by the internet. Blogs abound on every single move a baby or parent makes, and these are written by people who only have experience with their own children, yet they are dogmatic that there is only one good way to parent. This flurry of parenting advice has been more destructive than helpful. Many mothers today express exasperation because one expert contradicts the next expert. Some mothers become anxious, depressed, and have feelings of inadequacy. I don't think it's a coincidence that this judgmental atmosphere around the arena that women naturally owned, that is, motherhood, came on the heels of the feminist revolution. I'd call it a punishing backlash. In that sense, any decision a woman might make as a new parent that flies in the face of the judgmental advice books, the hysterical and critical internet pundits, inflexible pediatricians, and strident governmental recommendations are, in fact, feminist issues. The best antidote to all this? Choose your experts wisely. And so, we turn to Dr. James McKenna, because he is a truly trustworthy expert. He has firsthand experience as a father, a scientist, a sleep physiology expert, an evolutionary biologist who knows the long history of our species, a social anthropologist familiar with cross-cultural examples, and a historian probing into the specific issue of parent-infant sleep over generations. In other words, Dr. McKenna is not relying on some opinion he conjured out of thin air, but real-life data and research. His data are also supported in the most scholarly and broad way by evolutionary, historical, and cross-cultural theory. That's why Dr. McKenna has earned a kind of credibility that is rare, even unheard of, in the world of parenting advice. But more than that, Dr. McKenna is not the kind of academic who is happy to sit safely in his ivory tower. Instead, he faces and considers, with data and deep thought, every challenge to co-sleeping that the governmental authorities and the internet cough up. While we might admire his knowledge and expertise, his persistence in promoting co-sleeping, and now breast sleeping, is his best gift to parents and to our culture. Dr. McKenna never stops learning, never stops thinking about all this, and sometimes it seems he is the only expert out there who still has the emotional and psychological health of parents and babies as his main focus. He doesn't ever tell parents what to do. He judges no one. Instead, as Safe Infant Sleep shows, he lays out all the evidence and then lets families decide what is best for them. Dr. McKenna's previous book, Sleeping with Your Baby, 2007, focused on co-sleeping and his work over the years, as well as providing clear answers to the questions about where babies should sleep and why. The current book is not merely an updated version of that book. In Safe Infant Sleep, Dr. McKenna introduces the new and yet somehow intuitive idea that babies and moms sleep best and more naturally when they are together, and there is easy access to the breast all night long. This current book is also full of answers to questions about SIDS and co-sleeping, how fathers fare in the co-sleeping system, and how belief systems, such as inherent racism, cloud what should be a simple decision to lie down and sleep with your child. And, in a conversational way, Dr. McKenna brings us all up to date on the most current research in this area. In that sense, Safe Infant Sleep is not just a parenting guide, or maybe it's just an unusual one. It breaks apart every single issue about infant sleep that a mother or father might question as they start their life's journey with their baby. But take heed. The kind of thoroughness and thoughtfulness you see here should be the template you demand when asking other so-called experts about parenting issues. Yes, we live in fearful times. But because of Dr. James McKenna, we need not be fearful of following our natural tendency to keep our babies close at night. Listen to this book and become informed, and then pick up your baby, crawl in bed with them, or not, and sleep safely. Foreword by William Sears, M.D. You're about to hear groundbreaking research from not only the leading scientist in the world of mother-baby sleep, but also a passionate father who has devoted most of his professional life to studying the practice of co-sleeping. One of the most memorable moments in my professional life as a pediatrician was my first meeting with Dr. McKenna in Pasadena, California in 1982. At that time, my wife Martha had been, shall we say, doing what comes naturally, co-sleeping with our babies. We learned about nighttime parenting literally on the job. Our first three babies slept well in their own cribs, either in our bedroom or in their own room, but babies 4 and 5 needed a nighttime upgrade. I still remember the night Martha woke up to the "I need you, Mommy" cries of our one-month-old baby Hayden. And Martha said, from her heart, "I don't care what the books say. I've got to get some sleep." She instinctively put Hayden next to her in the bed to breastfeed, and the pair slept happily thereafter. While watching this beautiful nighttime parenting scenario, I was struck by the thought that this is the way it was meant to be. My opening announcement when I met Dr. McKenna was, "Jim, I'm looking forward to your research proving what mothers the world over have known for centuries, that something beautiful and healthful happens to mothers and babies when they share sleep." When he began his research as a professor of anthropology and director of the Mother-Baby Behavioral Sleep Laboratory at the University of Notre Dame, parenting books were full of misinformation from unreliable sources about co-sleeping. But the way mothers and babies get to know one another through shared sleep is too valuable to be left to opinion. Many of today's savvy parents smartly ask, "Show me the science." In Safe Infant Sleep, Dr. McKenna does just that. His research takes you on a journey into the brains and bodies of mothers and babies when they share sleep, with my favorite novel feature of this book being Dr. McKenna's insightful use of the term breast sleeping. Through his scientific experiments, Dr. McKenna shows that this style of nighttime parenting is the way mommy brains and baby brains are wired to experience sleep, and proves how and why bed sharing can be safe. As you will learn throughout these chapters, co-sleeping is also co-smartening. Consider your baby's brain like a growing garden. Safe co-sleeping is the perfect gardener during the window of opportunity that is the first 2 years, when a baby's brain is growing the fastest, building neurological pathways that give a child a healthy start into a life of mental wellness. With insights from the most up-to-date research, you will hear how safe co-sleeping in all its forms reduces infant cerebral stress, programming these growing little brains to be able to better manage stress later in life. While hearing this guide to happy, healthy, and safe co-sleeping, or, better said, breast sleeping, get ready to think, "Oh, this validates my intuition." That's what a book that is science and experience-based should do, unlike the many nighttime parenting guides that actually confuse moms about co-sleeping. One piece of mommy wisdom that I describe daily in my practice is to ask yourself, when deciding how to react to any parenting situation, "If I were my baby, how would I want my mother to react?" That natural, maternal instinct reaction would be to pick up your fussy baby, snuggle together, and breast sleep. Ah, that was simple. Rather than scare new parents away from sleeping with their babies, healthcare providers should be teaching strategies for safe co-sleeping. Dr. McKenna lists time-tested and scientifically studied methods of sleeping safely with your baby. He provides hope for a future that embraces the positive potential of co-sleeping and helps parents feel empowered to choose the right sleeping arrangement for their family. Imagine you're among a group of smart new parents I call high investors. You seek consultation with a top doc in your area on the newest science about infant care. You open your consultation with, "Doctor, what is one simple parenting choice I can make that could have lasting mental and physical health benefits?" In the world that Dr. McKenna is fighting to create, she would get out her prescription pad and write, "Breast sleep with your baby." Safe Infant Sleep is a must-listen for every expectant and new parent and belongs in the required reading library of every baby care advisor. If babies could talk, they would shout, "Thanks, Mom, for listening to this book and for keeping me safe and sound." Listen to this first. A note from the author. The question of whether or not to sleep with your baby is complicated. It does not lend itself to easy answers or catchy slogans. As new parents, you are typically faced with co-sleeping conundrums in the middle of the night when exhaustion is high, and what works for your family may conflict with what you've been taught about sleep safety by your pediatrician. In addition, there are racial, class, social, and political biases that run through co-sleeping data, and the advice you get from many healthcare providers is often based on accepted practice instead of accurate, evidence-based research. It is a shame that new parents need to hear an entire book just to be able to sleep soundly at night, but this seems to be the case. When it comes to sleep, knowing what you're doing and why you're doing it can help everyone feel well-rested, provide physical and emotional benefits for babies, and even save lives. Parents ask me for advice all the time, and it's hard to give because each home is different, each set of parents has different goals, and each child has different needs. I want each family to make the decision that is appropriate for them. I ask that you take the time to listen to this entire book to fully understand the topic, as well as your options, so you can make safe, informed choices. While I have tried to provide comprehensive information and varied perspectives, you may notice as you listen that there are many questions remaining that have yet to be researched. Humans can be complicated. When it comes to family sleep, there are a plethora of sleeping arrangements and outside factors that can affect sleep safety. It is frustrating to me that some of the questions parents ask simply do not have answers yet. It is up to influential health organizations to decide which questions are worth investigating and, by extension, which research projects deserve funding in order to find answers. When the subject is controversial, like bed sharing or other infant sleep issues, these decisions are subject to systemic bias. Unfortunately, research priorities are based on a flawed infant sleep paradigm that is inherently in conflict with co-sleeping. So these organizations tend to ignore the many questions we still have about how to co-sleep safely. Most studies simply aim to find evidence that validates the views of those making the decisions. Part of the goal of this book, which encourages non-judgmental discussions about co-sleeping, is to open the door for future studies by encouraging health professionals to make the process of deciding research priorities more inclusive. It is my hope that public health authorities will one day be able to address the many questions we still have, and, in doing so, be able to provide the best possible recommendations tailored to individual families. The biggest question on your mind at the moment is likely, where should my baby sleep? I hope you will not be disappointed to find that I can't answer that question for you, and neither can any pediatrician, healthcare institution, or researcher. This decision is only yours to make, and should be based on a thorough understanding of the risks and benefits, your overall family circumstances, and the parameters of your sleep space. External medical authorities don't know you, your infant, or the needs, wants, and values of your family. My sincere hope is that the information provided here will place you in the best possible position to decide the answer of where your baby should sleep for yourself. If this book leads you to understand that you and your family will come to know your baby better than anyone, and that your baby will ultimately teach you what he or she needs to make him or her and you healthier and happier, I will view it as a success. Breast sleeping, what it means and why it's important. This concept is a potential game changer given the current polarized debate on what we should be advising parents. Dr. Kathleen A. Marinelli, et al. Breast sleeping is a term recently coined by myself and my colleague, Dr. Lee T. Gettler. It refers to a specific kind of bed sharing between a breastfeeding mother and infant, occurring in an environment free from proven risk factors. It is the safest form of bed sharing, practiced worldwide for all of human history. Breast sleeping is part of an evolved, diverse, and highly integrated set of human behaviors. It remains fundamental to the continuing health of our species, in addition to potentially optimizing the health of individual mothers and their infants in both the short and long term. This sleeping arrangement not only provides more opportunities to breastfeed throughout each night, but also makes it more likely that mothers will breastfeed their infants for a greater number of months. Breast sleeping enhances sensitivity between mother and infant, encourages lighter sleep, and reduces the risk of danger in a variety of other ways. Our primary aim in creating a new term for this very old concept is to provide a new research category that acknowledges three things. 1. The role the consistent maternal contact plays in helping to establish optimal breastfeeding. 2. The significant extent to which breastfeeding and nightly sensory exchanges change all aspects of mother-infant sleep compared to traditional solitary or bottle-fed infant sleep models. 3. That the unique behaviors and physiological characteristics exhibited by breast-sleeping mothers and infants mean that breast-sleeping must be given its own category for assessing potential benefits and risks. After decades of studying bed-sharing and infant health, it is clear that it is not possible to document biologically normal human infant sleep outside of the breast-sleeping context. The ongoing sensory exchanges of touch, sound, smell, and taste between mother and infant during breastfeeding and the breast milk itself significantly change infant and maternal sleep architecture, infant metabolism, the efficiency of the infant's immune system, and the infant's microbiome, helpful bacteria. Recent research also suggests positive changes to an infant's growing and expanding neural connections and overall brain architecture. These will all be discussed later in the book. In the more immediate sense, breast sleeping is associated with an increase in brief waking periods and in breast milk consumption, effects that enhance protection against sleep-related deaths and are altogether good for babies while being less disruptive for mothers. Part 1. Co-sleeping is normal. Chapter 1. Why I care so much about this subject. There is no such thing as a baby. There is a baby and someone. Donald W. Winnicott. Many of my friends find it amusing that I spend almost all my waking hours studying what people do when they sleep. It's true. What people do when they're asleep fascinates me, and not just people in general, but families in particular. At the University of California, Irvine Medical Center, and as director of the Mother-Baby Behavioral Sleep Laboratory at the University of Notre Dame, my students and I have had the privilege of documenting information about infant sleep through infrared video recordings and physiological monitoring of mothers and infants sleeping both together and apart. Our research was not just for the sake of gathering knowledge, but for helping mothers and infants sleep better, thrive physically and emotionally, and stay as safe as possible, no matter where or how they choose to sleep. When it comes to parenting, new moms and dads are flooded with conflicting advice from family members, well-meaning friends, medical professionals, the media, the government, and, of course, from other parents. The vast majority of parents want to do what is best for their children. Yet, this bombardment of information implies that parental wisdom and the capacity of parents to make their own informed decisions is somehow out of their grasp. It's as if everyone knows exactly what is best for your baby, except for you. It is not my intention to tell you what to do or how your infant should sleep. British author Christina Hardiment wrote, "Telling mothers and fathers how to bring up their children in books is arguably as silly as sending false teeth through the post and hoping they fit. I would never wish to give you ill-fitting teeth, and I certainly don't wish to give you ill-fitting rules for how to be a good parent, as all families and their circumstances are different. What is good for one family may not be good for another. The purpose of this book is to provide the best information available in order to help you make your own choice about what sleeping arrangement will be the safest and most beneficial for your family. My wife Joanne and I entered the world of parenting with the birth of our son, Jeffrey, in 1978. Anxious about our new set of responsibilities, we read book after book on parenting. We are both anthropologists, and we were quite taken aback at what we found in the child care literature. When it came to what the experts had to say about feeding patterns and sleeping arrangements, either all our research and training about the universal aspects of human life were wrong, or the pediatric experts were missing or ignoring key information concerning what infants need the most: specialized nutrition from breast milk and sustained physical contact both day and night. Not only was there nothing in the healthcare books that reflected what we know about our primate heritage and sleeping arrangements, there was also nothing that reflected current research on human infant biology and the role that maternal touch plays in promoting infant growth and well-being. We learned that infant care recommendations were not based on empirical laboratory or field studies of infants at all, nor on cross-cultural insights as to how human babies actually live around the world. Rather, they were based on 70 or 80-year-old cultural ideas, uniquely Western and historically novel. Recommendations followed the social values of mostly male physicians who not only had never changed a diaper, but had never, in any substantial way, associated with or taken care of their own infants. These parenting experts preferred to define babies in terms of who they wanted the infants to become, and decided what was good for infants based on recent and sometimes arbitrary social values, such as autonomy and independence. They should have been thinking in terms of who infants actually are: little creatures who are very much dependent physiologically, socially, and psychologically on the presence of a caregiver to an unprecedented degree, and for an unprecedented length of time compared to other mammals. The more we delved into the history and research of infant sleep recommendations, the more we discovered that the prevailing childcare wisdom had little basis in science whatsoever. This discovery changed my career. When you look at the prevalence of co-sleeping in the mammal world and among different cultures and in different eras of human history, it is clear that co-sleeping is universal through time and is practiced far and wide in many different ways. For hundreds of thousands of years, up to and through our early historic periods, breastfeeding mothers have practiced what Dr. Lee Gettler and I call breast sleeping. Breast sleeping is our new term and concept for the highly integrated system of healthy infant sleep combined with healthy breastfeeding behavior. The practice of breast sleeping consists of sleeping next to one's primarily breastfed baby and lying the infant on his or her back for sleep, which facilitates breastfeeding. This is such a universal and widespread practice that most parents worldwide couldn't imagine asking where the baby should sleep, whether it is okay to sleep with a baby, what position the baby should sleep in, and how the baby should be fed. My anthropological training, as well as my own intuition, told me that something this common had to be beneficial. But it has only been through extensive and rigorous scientific study that we have determined why this proves to be the case. During the 90s, at the University of California Irvine School of Medicine Sleep Disorders Laboratory, my colleagues, Drs. Sarah Mosco, Chris Richards, Claiborne Dungey, Sean Drummond, and I, conducted the first research on the physiology and behavior of breast-sleeping mothers and babies. In one intensive 3-year study, we examined infant and maternal sleep architecture, nighttime breastfeeding, and its relationship with bed sharing, and the differences between infants who co-sleep in the form of bed sharing and infants who sleep alone in separate rooms. Our two preliminary studies and subsequent
sample complete. Ready to continue?